And one of the things we believe here in this church is that the harvest will not self-reap, but the harvest will self-destruct if not reaped. And so we have a job ahead of us. You say, well, the church is big enough as it is. Oh, listen, you never measure the size of a church by how many are in it. You always measure the size of a church by how many are still outside of it. And we've got a big job to do. And this is your run. You won't come back. You only go around once.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. At New Hope, we believe that doing church as a team is God's design for effective ministry. Each person serving with a willing heart is vital to God's plan being accomplished. Here's Pastor Wayne to unpack that thought with a message entitled, You Only Go Around Once.
Well, in this next series, I'm going to be sharing with you how we as a church do this as a team. In fact, it inspired this book by an obscure author called Doing Church as a Team. Interesting. It should have been a New York bestseller, New York Times bestseller, but it didn't even make it to Springfield. But anyway, some of the principles I'll be sharing will be out of this book. It actually began New Hope as we put these principles in motion. I gave this talk about, a little more than a year ago, when we had just a few leadership in a little core group before we began the church called New Hope West. And so there are some of you that may hear it a second time, but sometimes it's good to hear it a second time, isn't it? I tell people, secondhand gold is as good as new. So it's good to hear some of these again and again. I remember a funny story where a guy went to the doctor and he said, Doctor, I think my wife has a major hearing problem. He said, really? Why? He said, I talked to her. She doesn't listen. So, how severe is it? He said, I don't know. He said, well, here, the doctor said, here's a test. He said, what's that? He said, real simple. Just go into the room and ask her a question in a normal tone of voice. And if she doesn't answer, take 10 steps forward. Ask her again. If she doesn't answer, take a few steps forward. Ask her again. And tell me how close you had to get to her before she answered. He thought, what a great idea. That's such a simple test. So, see, he goes home and his wife's in the kitchen. He stands by the door and he says, what's for dinner? And she just keeps cooking. He goes, he walks up a little closer. What's for dinner? She just keeps cooking. So he goes right up next to her ear. What's for dinner? She looks at him and says, Harry, for the third time, I said, beef stew. Three times I have to tell you this. So like Harry, we may need to hear these things a couple of times before it sinks in. Now, Easter is only 5 weeks away. And as I said, for a lot of people, Easter is probably the best time of year where their hearts are open to hear the gospel. And I want us to be thinking about, praying about some people that we might invite. But again, let me say it this way. I don't want to try to change you today. I really don't. I want you to recognize who God hardwired you to be. And when you recognize who you are and how He created you, it begins to change you. So I want us to know exactly how God wired us up. And again, if you're here and it's your first time, I want you to know that God chose you. We're here together for a reason. And so you're here because of the choice of God, not the chance of man. Speaking of just letting things come naturally as you recognize who you are, her name was Sue Ann Lee. She was a part of our church. She was a brand new Christian, only about 6-7 months old. And she was a part of the Rotary Club when I was in Hawaii, as I was. And I was asked to speak at a district Rotary Club gathering over in the Kailua Kona coast, beautiful coastline. They had it set up exquisitely with tents and tables along the ocean. And so I got a plate and I had some hors d'oeuvres on it and I was looking for a place to sit when I spotted Sue Ann Lee with an elderly Japanese man next to her. And she saw me and she said, Pastor Wayne, do you have a place to sit? I said, no. She said, sit here. So I said, okay. And so I sat down and she introduced me. She said, do you know, and I can't remember his name, so we'll just call him Mr. Miyagi. She said, do you know Mr. Miyagi? I said, no. I said, hello, Mr. Miyagi. He said, hello, grasshopper. And She immediately turns to Mr. Miyagi and says, "Do you go to church anywhere?" He said, "No, I'm Japanese, I'm Buddhist." She said, "Oh, you gotta come to New Hope." I looked at her, I thought, wow, she's bold. She said, I went there, changed my life, it'll change yours too. He said, "No, I golf every Sunday morning." She said, "That's fine, just come to our church. God will change you, change me, it'll change you too." He said, "Oh no, I have my own religion." She said, "What's that?" He said, "I give to Boy Scouts and the Cancer Society." She said, "That's fine, you just gotta come to our church, it'll change you, change me." At every excuse he made for the next 20 minutes, she had the exact same answer. He could have said, "I'm a Martian from Mars." "It's okay, you gotta come to our church, it'll change you." And I sat back and I started to giggle and I thought, man, you can't teach this kind of evangelism, even in Bible college. Wow. You see, there was nothing contrived. She just recognized who she was and what God had done, and it overflowed. So natural, so pure, and so inviting. It's just who we are. Once you recognize why you exist and why God put you here in this county, in this place, in this time. Because if you think about it, God could have had you born at any time in history. He could have had you born back in 600 AD, or maybe 1099 during the Crusades, or maybe in the 1500s during the Reformation. But instead, he took you and 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 me and said, "I'm going to take you and put you together right here in the last chapter." Why? See, God does nothing at random. He makes no mistakes. You can look it up in a Bible concordance. You'll never find once in the Bible where God ever said, "Whoops." He always designs things intentionally. So why? Well, you know, you think about it. If God had us in the last chapter, it's like, man, like running anchor in a relay race. When I was in high school, we had a state relay race coming up, and there was a mile relay. And so the coach came and said, "Wayne, we decided to ask you to run anchor." I said, "Anchor?" Because you see, if you're asked to run anchor in a relay, you're supposed to be the... And if your team is behind, you're supposed to catch up. So it has with it a great privilege, but it also holds with it a great responsibility. Now, I don't know why, but God asked you and me to run anchor. God believes in us. He chose us. And he put us together like Legos because we need each other. And we go together somehow. And God has a plan. He just doesn't do it at random. He has a plan. And that's exactly what the book of Acts says. And it's in your bulletin. If you will take out your bulletin, it'll also be up on the screen. But it's a scripture out of Acts 17. The Apostle Paul is mentioning the very same thing I'm talking about today. And he says this. Would you read it with me nice and loudly? Go. "From one man, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the times set for them and the very places where they should live. God did this so men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him, though he's not far from each of us." He says, from one man, Adam, he's made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He continues and it says, "And he determined the very times set for them." On the big chronology of timeline of history, he determined where you and I should be and the very places in which they should live. Well, we could be living in Indonesia today or Australia or anywhere else, but for some reason, look around, he's got us living here for a reason. He set that because he wants us to be a part of what he has planned for this community and beyond. The very times that they should live in and the very places. God spun the globe. And he says, "You're going to live right there. And you're going to be right here. And you're going to be right here." Why? Because I have a plan for you. And he spread us all over the globe. As the Bible says, you're like the salt of the earth. He just salted the earth, the globe with us. Why? Because men are going to reach out for him and seek him, and God's not far from any of them. You know why? Because of us. When he salts the world with us, when people reach out for him, we're there. And through us, they find Christ. Ah, so we're a very, very crucial part of his plan. Because when people reach out for God, they reach out and touch us, or we touch them. And then they get it. That's why God salted the earth. The Bible says we are the salt of the earth. There's only one thing God says that we cannot do. He says you won't be the majority. You'll be the salt. You'll be the minority. It's okay so long as the salt does not lose its savor. You are the light of the world. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a peck measure or under a cupboard or under a table, but puts it on a lampstand so the light will shine and everyone will be able to see. So God says, this is it. That's the last chapter. God said, you know, it's going to be a crazy world, by the way. It's going to be Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. It's going to be confusing. It's going to be voices that are going to be contradicting one another. 1 million will die in 1 year from overdose of illicit drugs. 700,000 from pandemics and diseases. 1.5 million by abortions right here in 1 year. I'm going to take you and put you right there. Why? Because I believe in you. He said to the disciples one day, lift up your eyes. Because they were living in a world kind of like ours. Think about it. They were under Roman occupation, oppression. They had the Sanhedrin, the high priests, the legalistic people. And they're trying to kill one another if you didn't agree with them. And they would do it surreptitiously. He put the disciples right in the middle of that. And the disciples said, this is a crazy world. And Jesus said, lift up your eyes, look on the fields. It's ripe for the harvest. Why do you think he said to the disciples, lift up your eyes? Probably because they needed to lift up their eyes. Because we have a tendency, like them, to look at what's going on just in my life. Get upset and grumble about everything else. But the Lord says, no. That's not a place to grumble about. It's a harvest to harvest. It's a harvest field. We got to harvest that. And one of the things we believe here in this church is that the harvest will not self-reap, but the harvest will self-destruct if not reaped. And so we have a job ahead of us. You say, well, the church is big enough as it is. Oh, listen, you never measure the size of a church by how many are in it. You always measure the size of a church by how many are still outside of it. And we've got a big job to do. And this is your run. You won't come back. I mean, I don't care what Shirley MacLaine says. This is your run. This is it. You only go around once. This is it. So we want to make sure that we make a mark for eternity. There's a lot of things you're going to see in heaven. You're going to see golden streets, cherubim, seraphim. You're going to see all kinds of cool stuff. But there's one thing you'll never, ever, ever, ever see again for all of eternity. You will never, ever, ever see a non-Christian. Now is our only chance to share with them the good news. And so God, knowing that these people are here that he wants to reach, put us right in the midst as salt. And he says, I believe in you. You're running anchor in this relay of faith. Believe it or not, we don't have that much time left. The book of Psalms says your life is like a breath. Here and then gone. James says your life is like a vapor. Psh, whew, it's gone. Bible says your life is like a sigh, says Job. And it's done. If you think everything is still right now, think again. Did you know that this earth is spinning on its axis at 23 degrees at 1,000 miles an hour? It's also whipping through space around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour. So really, in reality, you are right now spinning faster than the spin cycle on your washing machine. But because of gravity and God's balances and his principles and ordinances, we feel like we're still. But in reality, everything's moving very quickly. And a few more spins, we'll be in eternity. I mean, think about it. In 40 years, this room will basically be empty. I'll still be here because I'm younger than most of you, but basically you'll be gone. It's just not that long. People say, well, Wayne, you talk about eternity. How long is that? It's long. Well, like how? I say it this way. If you take a cable, a steel cable, and you bust it through that wall and let it go as far as you can see until it disappears over the horizon, pull it through this auditorium, get it tight, shoot it through that wall until you see it disappear over that horizon as far to the left and as far to your right as you can see, that cable stretches into eternity. I say that's like eternity. Our life on this earth compared to eternity, I take out a pen and I draw a vertical scratch. See that scratch, like 1/64th of an inch? That's about how long our life on this earth is compared to eternity. But some people think that all they have is the scratch. So man, they love that scratch. They live for that scratch. They save for that scratch. Oh, they kiss the scratch. They use oil of old age to try and widen the scratch. But it's only a scratch. They live scratch lives, and they have scratch dreams and drive scratch cars, but it's all just a scratch. They don't know any difference. The Bible says it this way, but God so loved the scratch that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish on the scratch, but have eternal life. See, that's where we come in. The reason God saved you, if you've received Christ, the reason God saved you isn't just to get you into heaven, you know, get you a seat in the non-smoking section. It's not a fire escape. If the only reason God saved you was to get you into heaven, then as soon as you would have received Christ, he would have killed you. Well, that way you get to heaven. No use you hanging around here, taking up somebody else's space and eating somebody else's food. Get you to heaven. No. Instead, when you got saved, he put a message into your heart. Tell them. And he put us back on that scratch and says, whoo. Tell them. Don't forget who you are. Remember. And he put us back on the scratch and he says, now tell them. And he put us in every city, every place, so that when people reach out for God, he's not far from any of them. That through your voice and through your invitation, through your love, your compassion, people will find Christ. And that's why you are so important to the plan of God. And once you recognize who you are, because everything else is going to perish, right? I mean, look around. Everything else is going to burn. It's gone one day, except people. And so God says, there's an eternal investment that I want you to be a part of. And I'm going to put you right there in that county, in that community, in that year, in that era with these people, because I have an eternal plan for you. And he chose us. He put us in this auditorium. You're hearing this message at the same time. Why? Because God's chosen you to be a part of his plan.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled, You Only Go Around Once, by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We'll bring you the conclusion of this message on tomorrow's broadcast. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said. Life here on earth is so brief, so let's make this one count for eternity. E ko mako mako I loko kalani, e ho ano I a ko inoa, e hiki mai ko aupuni, e malama I a ko make make maka honua nei, e like me ia I malama I a makalani la, e haave mai I a mako I ke iala, aina mako no nei iala. Kalamai hoi a mako I ka mako lawe hala ana, me mako I kalane I ka poe I lawe hala I ka mako. Mai ho oku o ia mako I ka ho'o vale vale ia mai. E ho'o pa kele nōna e ia mako I ka ino. No ka mea, no ke au puni, a me ka mana. A me ka ho'onani a maulo aku. Amen.
this is how we worship. This is how we give praise. This is how we honor the one who's above all names. This is how we show love to the one who is called love. This is how we worship. This is how we worship.
until next time, have a great day in the Lord and aloha.
When was the last time you were truly grateful for something? Not just saying thank you, but really meaning it. Even today, in a world where everything seems to be falling apart, and there's so much uncertainty in the air, there are many things and people to be grateful for. Today, choose to show gratitude. Who knows? Maybe you'll just start a chain reaction that will transform the world around you. And when you do, you'll help others remember that even today, hope is alive.
Discover hope this weekend at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.